it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty. 49ers 2-0 to start the season. And Evan Giddings is in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Tough morning for Goo.
Yeah, just get him out of the way now if you want. That's our guy. So we're going to hold it down for him, and hopefully he's back tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely. 49ers win 26-21. Not the artistic piece of football that you might want, but who cares? They're 2-0.
What did you want? Like, seriously, going into that game, what did you want?
Just a win. That's all.
That's what they got.
Exactly. They've had two wins, to my way of thinking, pretty similar. A couple gritty ones. And Mac Jones, obviously, was terrific yesterday. Three touchdowns. And the 49ers go on the road and win with a second-string quarterback and a couple guys out. And, you know, Evan, I was talking about this. This feels weird. The 49ers season just feels a little bit weird already, and it's probably because of the expectations, it's because of the schedule, it's because of the injuries, but anyway you cut it, they're 2-0, and after last year, I think that's the most important aspect of the start of this season, that they're 2-0, and they feel like they're starting to build something here.
Well, I think right now, I don't know if it's building, but they're surviving, but that's important. I mean, this season has not, in a way, I think for a lot of fans, come into focus yet.
Right.
I mean, this is a football team that is puzzle piecing together games, is puzzle piecing together positions. Even with the loss of a quarterback, your tight end for 4 weeks, you had two more guys go down and Juszczyk and your guard and Bartsch. Like, players continue to drop like flies, and yet this football team continues to fly. Now, part of this is the New Orleans Saints, which do factor into the equation. That's not a good football team. But I think going into this game, at least what I felt from a lot of the fans on the kickoff show with Lowe on Sunday was, it doesn't matter. This is still a football game you should win. Even though Mac Jones is your backup quarterback, he's still better than the guy wearing the Florida Lee. He's still better than Spencer Rattler. That was, in many ways, a game that I don't think they could lose, Steiny, which sounds strange considering you had your backups, but they went out and got the job done. And they're 2-0 in a division that has 7 wins between 3 teams. So it was also important that they won that football game, and they found a way to get it done.
I feel like this is going to be a tougher year to get a read on the Niners. And a lot of it has to do with their schedule, but a lot of it has to do with they've got a lot of new personnel on their team. And I just have a feeling that there's going to be moments after games where if you really want to nitpick, you're going to be able to. But when I look, as far as the next 2 or 3 games go, or however many games that Mac Jones is going to quarterback for Brock Purdy, to my way of thinking, style points kind of go out the window. I mean, they scored 26 points with a backup quarterback. That's not bad. Not bad at all. And so now next week, they have their home opener against the Cardinals. Mac Jones will probably be the quarterback, but I think you got to be encouraged by the way the offense looked without Brock Purdy. And I got to give credit to Kyle Shanahan there. That offense looked functional despite not having its number one receiver, number one tight end, and number one quarterback.
And they did it despite Mac Jones also looking nervous out of the gates. I mean, it looked like at first that he was feeling the nerves. He was feeling the pressure a little bit. 0-3 on that first drive, and then he completes his next 8 passes. Like, I do think that you have to give Mac Jones a lot of credit as well. And Kyle Shanahan, despite, again, injuries happening before the game, despite injuries happening during the game, I thought he adjusted pretty well. And this is a Saints defense that nearly allowed them to beat the Arizona Cardinals last week. It's a road game. It's your first 10 a.m. game of the season. And I thought that the Niners looked pretty buttoned up as a group, considering some of the issues that they had, I would say, you know, the first couple weeks of this season, even going back into preseason. Like, they're young, they're injured, and they didn't really skip a beat. I mean, Mac Jones threw for 270 and three touchdowns. Did have the one fumble, but I thought the running game looked a bit differently. We saw Shanahan differ things by not basically relying completely on number 23. McCaffrey only had 13 carries, 7 targets, 6 catches. Like, his workload did diminish. We saw more of Brian Robinson. And I just think that this offense didn't really skip much of a beat. Now, that's not to say that Mac Jones is a better quarterback than Brock Purdy, but to me, it's more of a compliment to Kyle Shanahan and what he did as a play caller on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, I just am looking at the numbers here, and I feel like this is kind of interesting. Mac Jones threw 39 times. This is always what I think about coming into a game. And Mac Jones threw 39 times, which is more than Brock Purdy threw in any game last year but for one. Purdy threw 40 passes against Miami last year. So I just think it's interesting. Well, we're going to have a backup quarterback, so we're probably going to rely heavily on, you know, the ground game. And then the next thing you know, Mac Jones is throwing 39 times to a bunch of different guys and doesn't throw an interception, has only one turnover, and the 49ers get a bunch of contributions from a lot of different players, and they're 2-0, and they're taking advantage of the schedule in front of them, and now they play the Cardinals next week at home, and we'll see if they can keep it going.
Well, I mean, I don't really care about next week at this point. Like, it's about Sunday. It's about what happened yesterday. And for the second consecutive week, I think they won a football game that last year they would have lost. And it speaks to the difference in toughness of this football team to be able to weather the amount of injuries that they've weathered, to play with the amount of young guys that they've played with, to play with a different kicker this week, who also missed an extra point early and then bounced back and made a couple of field goals. I just get the sense that this 49ers team, and again, I think week one, that win looks a little bit better with what Seattle did in Pittsburgh. I also think winning two road games when six of your first nine are on the road are important. This football team appears to have a toughness that last year's team did not. And I don't know if it's the callus that they built in training camp, which of course has perhaps led to some of these injuries. I'm not sure what right now is stirring the drink for the 49ers, but they feel like a different football team. And even when the Saints got the ball twice, by the way, in the final 5 minutes of that football game, I had confidence that Robert Saleh's defense was going to get those stops. Like, the offense, though they got the lead and presented the defense with a chance to close, they were still Mariano Rivera. The defense closed that football game for a second straight week, and it's a big reason why they're 2-0.
Yeah, and the other thing that went perfectly for Kyle Shanahan was the 49ers give up a score with a minute and 15 seconds left in the second quarter. It's 9-7, and then the 49ers are able to push the ball down the field in the last minute and 15 seconds and end up going into the locker room up 16-7. I thought that was a huge play at the end of the half, and it's Kyle Shanahan loves that more than – I think he loves that more than any other coach in the NFL, where he can score late in the second quarter, and then they have the ball to start the third quarter. That's the way it worked yesterday. And they were able to hold off the New Orleans Saints 26-21. 888-957-9570 is the number. 49er fans, take it any way you can get it. You guys are now 2-0. Big win week one against the Seahawks. Seahawks, of course, won yesterday. And then the 49ers go down to New Orleans, and they beat the New Orleans Saints. Pretty good effort by both quarterbacks, to tell you the truth. Spencer Rattler was pretty good, but the 49ers, they win by 5 and they cover. So they've covered two road games in 2 weeks. 888.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to say that good teams win, great teams cover.
I'm just trying to tell you that the San Francisco 49ers are off to a good start, and regardless of the teams they're playing, they're winning games, and they've won their first two games on the road. So it's been a great start to the season. And how are we feeling about it, 49er fans? At 888-957-9570. And what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. That segment also brought to you by Safeway.
Yep, no doubt about that. As they find Jennings running free. Juwan Jennings going to take it in for a San Francisco touchdown. 42 yards from Jones to Jennings for six.
All righty, that turned it into a 26-14 49er lead, the Juwan Jennings touchdown pass from Mac Jones. And, Evan, that's kind of where I want to start with the backup quarterback, Mac Jones. 26 for 39, three touchdowns, no picks. He did have a fumble, probably held on to the ball a little bit too long, but overall, man, you can't ask for more than that from your backup quarterback, can you? Oh, you can ask, but are you really going to get any more than that?
You got to win, Steiny. That's what you pay the backup quarterback to do, is help you win games. So, no. I don't care if he threw for 200 yards and one touchdown and three picks. If they won the game, they won the game. You know, I think Mac Jones looked a lot better than I gave him credit for when they signed him. I mean, he has a better arm than Purdy. I think that he was someone who Kyle Shanahan identified as someone that could run this offense. And it's funny, like, you can see very quickly why Kyle Shanahan really likes Mac Jones. He just looks like a Kyle Shanahan quarterback. He's kind of immobile, is going to do exactly what you need him to do. And while he might make some mistakes, I thought the fact that he let him throw it 39 times, I mean, how many backup quarterbacks in any situation have their play caller dial up 39 passes?
I mean, could that have been a result of Kyle Shanahan actually saying, we can't give the ball to Christian 22 times out of the backfield? We have to spread it out a little bit. I also think there's something about Kyle Shanahan feels like those little short passes, those little 5 and 10 yard intermediate routes, I think he feels like those are as safe as some running plays with Mac Jones. I mean, he delivers the ball right where it needs to be from, you know, those little 10 yard passes.
That was a Kyle Shanahan game.
Yeah,
like that was Kyle Shanahan. I think he deserves a game ball as much as anybody. I mean, Shanahan dialed up a ton of stuff yesterday that I thought was just bread and butter. We heard that play coming out of the break. That's a bread and butter Kyle Shanahan play, where Juwan Jennings is the lone man set up on the left. You have a tight end and two wide receivers to the right. McCaffrey out of the backfield. McCaffrey clears the left side of the secondary. Tonjes runs up the seam. The linebacker dropped a little bit further than anticipated, but Max said after the game that he moved him enough with his eyes. Layers the throw right over the top of the linebacker. Hits Juwan in stride, and if that play is executed to perfection, which it was by the backup quarterback, it's a walk-in touchdown. So that kind of play, to me, is symbolic of how much Kyle Shanahan's system, when executed properly, is going to work no matter who is delivering the ball and no matter who's catching the ball. Because on that one play, Steiny, there were four backups in the game. Ben Bartsch got hurt. So you have a backup guard, Connor Colby. You have Kendrick Bourne, who's in the game only because Kyle Juszczyk also got hurt. You also have, of course, the backup quarterback, Mac Jones. And you're looking all around the field, and there's backups for the 49ers everywhere. And they still delivered on a third down, no less, a 46-yard touchdown strike to essentially put the game into kind of that, you know, that two-score mode where you just need a couple plays from your defense.
Yeah, the other thing that I think is encouraging if you're a 49er fan is that the big boys so far through 2 weeks are the ones who are making big plays. You know, you look at yesterday, Fred Warner had 11 tackles, Bosa 9, Bosa with another big play late to solidify the win. Warner makes a great play on the Kamara fumble where he just doesn't give up on the play and he turns it over. McCaffrey has gotten off to a good start this year. So to my way of thinking, yes, they've got some injuries, but their best players who are still playing have really delivered for them this year on both sides of the ball. I mean, McCaffrey's off to a good start. I think Pearsall's off to a really good start. Warner and Bosa are off to good starts. The quarterbacks, both of whom have played in 2 weeks, first 2 weeks are off to a good start. So it does feel like their big boy players, their big name players, have brought it home for them the first 2 weeks of the season.
Well, it's been big name players, but it's been everyone. I mean, I don't think you win two road games in the NFL considering the amount of injuries they've sustained without everyone making plays. You know, in game one, Nick Bosa was your superstar closer. And in game two, the final play of the game was made by a guy you traded for this offseason, Bryce Huff. You know, I think you also have to look a little bit bigger than just who is on the field, but some of the decision makers that brought those people in. For example, last year was Leonard Floyd. Okay, you said goodbye to him. You said goodbye to Malik Collins. You said goodbye to Hargrave. You wanted to save a lot of money, and you brought in some lower-priced replacements. Bryce Huff was one of them, and he made the final play of the game on defense. You know, it's not just the Fred Warners. I thought that D. Winters looked like Dre Greenlaw yesterday, especially when he also had that unnecessary roughness hit out of bounds. That's a very Dre Greenlaw play. Physical, fast, to the football, sometimes plays a little over his skis. You're looking at the safety position. You said goodbye to Talanoa Hufanga. Okay, well, you now have a fifth-round rookie, Marcus Siegel, that's stepping in and playing, I think, pretty effectively in that spot. You're looking at Upton Stout, who's a rookie nickel corner, who's stepping in as they had to reshuffle their cornerback room from last season. Like, everyone, myself included, I think was critical of the amount of solidified NFL role players that they said goodbye to this offseason. And so far, they haven't skipped much of a beat. In fact, I would argue that at some of these positions, they've actually improved, considering Greenlaw has still not strapped up a single game for the Denver Broncos. And Talanoa Hufanga and that defense just lost to an Indianapolis Colts team yesterday. Like, the Niners, maybe through 2 weeks, I think are looking pretty good with some of the people they said goodbye to.
888-957-9570 is the number. 49ers beat the Saints 26-21 yesterday in New Orleans. They do it behind a backup quarterback in Mac Jones. And if there's a theme for the first 2 weeks, I feel like the 49ers, it does feel like they're grittier than last year. And maybe some of that grittiness has been born out of the fact that they didn't have a good year last year and they left a lot of games that they thought they could win on the table. I do seem to, you know, there's something really interesting about after that game and watching Fred Warner. And it's so true that if you're a player in the NFL, it doesn't matter who you beat if you beat a team. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't matter that a lot of 49er fans felt like they could go down to New Orleans and beat the Saints. And that's what ended up happening. But when I see Fred Warner after that game, emotional, essentially breaking down into tears, you just kind of realize that they don't, like, pro football players don't look at it like we look at it. That win yesterday, 49er fans may have gone into the game thinking, you know, we should win this game and we'll come out 2-0. And they did. But you can just tell from a player's point of view, their mindset is so different than that. It's just all about somehow, some way getting a win. And just watching Fred Warner after that game, you realize it kind of doesn't matter if they just beat the Saints or they beat the Eagles. in the regular season. It's like those wins are big, and that win yesterday, for whatever reason, meant a ton to the San Francisco 49ers, and I think it had to do with the fact that they are banged up right now, and they still went down there and got a win.
See, I actually, you may look at it and say that, all right, Fred Warner is approaching this game differently than a fan. I actually think that moment at the end of the game proves why fans associate so much with individual players. Because Fred Warner is feeling exasperated, exhausted in a game that demanded the 49ers battle through a ton of adversity to win against a pretty lowly New Orleans Saints team. Like, let's not doubt ourselves. That's a bottom five team in the NFL. But that's also how fans, I think a lot of fans approach each week. Like, it doesn't matter who you're playing, you have to win the game. And for Fred Warner to be as emotional as he was in week two, considering this guy has played in the biggest game multiple times, I thought was kind of representative of a lot of fans that I know. Like, it doesn't matter that you're playing the Saints. This is a football team that last season was 6-11. They would lose in those situations 9 times out of 10 last year. And it felt like some of the games that they won were not won by them, but more given to them by another team. So I haven't felt like that through the first 2 weeks at all. Despite the Saints not being a good football team, despite Seattle having opportunities and not coming up big, I think the 49ers have won both of these first two games as opposed to it being given to them. And that's not something you could say about the team a year ago.
No, I give them credit for winning both those games as opposed to having it handed to them. The reality is, again, this is the second week where they actually had two holds late in the fourth quarter, meaning defensive holds. The Saints had the ball. They gave it up. They got it back, and then that's when Bosa made the big play. Huff made the big play in the last possession, but they had two holds late, and they weren't able to get holds last year in those situations. So the 49ers have made the plays that they've had to make in the first two games, and they're 2-0, and I think if you're a 49er fan, you got to be encouraged right now.
Well, But that's like winning games. You should not have to apologize for winning games. Just look at what happened in the NFL yesterday. The Indianapolis Colts won because the Denver Broncos committed a stupid penalty jumping on top of the long snapper at the end of the game. No one in Indianapolis is apologizing for them being 2-0. The Philadelphia Eagles went into Kansas City and beat the Chiefs, who do not look like the power they've certainly been over the last 5 to 6 years. That doesn't matter. Chris Jones was talking to Jalen Hurts at the end of that game saying, you didn't even throw for 100 yards today. And Jalen Hurts looks at him and says, doesn't matter, we won the game. No one in Philly is apologizing for them being 2-0. In Dallas yesterday, Russell Wilson threw for 450 yards and 3 touchdowns. The Cowboys aren't apologizing for winning that game in overtime. They probably shouldn't have gotten there. It does not matter how you win. All that matters is that you got it done. And I think that's what Fred Warner had on his face, a feeling of you pieced together enough plays throughout the game, you didn't look dominant, but you still won. And for that, the 49ers are still even in the NFC West, a division that they probably feel like each and every week with these wins is more and more of a possibility.
Yeah, I do think that the division games obviously are gonna dictate who has success in the division. I do think that, you know, they're 1-0 against the division right now. They were 1-5 last year. I mean, they got two division games coming up. We don't have to get into those yet, but they're already kind of ahead of where they were last year, and it's not even close. Let's go to Orlando and San Bruno. What's going on, Orlando? How you doing? Orlando, what's up, man? All right. Forget Orlando. Let's go to Romani. Romani in San Jose. What's up, Romani? How you doing?
I'm doing well. Hi, guys. Great game yesterday in terms of at least getting the victory.
Yeah.
I agree with all of your comments. At the end of the day, 2-0 is 2-0. I want to make a couple of comments. One is, I agree with, I think, Sonny, you made the call... comment to both of you that this is one of the best play calling that I've ever seen Kyle Shanahan do. Because he went away from his usual, you know, his usual style, and he's a very stubborn person. He doesn't change very significantly much at all. So I was very happy that he responded. And maybe he feels more confidence with Mac Jones being able to throw down the field than maybe even with Brock Purdy, you know. But I thought he adjusted well, and that was kudos to him. I was disappointed with the defense because I mean those three, all you know those whole no those you know holding penalties that was, and a bunch of other things. But they came through as always in the end, which is a good thing. But I also wanted to make a sort of a funny comment about. You know, there's all this chatter. No, Mac Jones did very well. Maybe there's a quarterback controversy. Maybe, you know, Brock Purdy, etc. To those people, I just want to give them two words. Nick Mullins. What do you think, guys?
Appreciate the call. We're not there yet, are we?
Where?
I mean, you know. I mean...
I'm so okay, Steiny.
I'm not saying a word.
No, I know, but you like to stir the pot. Can we put the rat on the table? Brought to you by Atco Pest Control.
Okay.
And there it is. There is no quarterback controversy. There never was. You paid your guy. You paid Mac Jones to be the backup. So he is going to back up Brock Purdy, and when Brock Purdy is back and healthy, he is your starter. I don't know how you could watch a game like...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday and think that Mac Jones is in any way, shape, or form a threat to starting in front of Brock Purdy. What Mac Jones did yesterday is I think he put tape out there for whatever team this offseason is looking for a potential starter or maybe a stopgap. But that's the whole reason why Mac Jones signed here is because he was looking for an opportunity to get with a good play caller in a good situation, and hopefully do what Sam Darnold did, which is eventually get his shot somewhere else and then turn people's opinion around on him.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it is you beat the Saints. And this is where, and I listen, two things. You can be very happy and content with the win, and also acknowledge that the Saints probably aren't going to the Super Bowl this year. But this is one of those things where I feel like this is kind of the way the year could go. And that is, I think the 49ers are going to win games this year, and they may win a lot of games kind of like this, where maybe they're not the most impressive team in the NFL, and they're not playing world beaters week in and week out, but... if they're winning games like they're winning games, it's going to be hard to get an accurate read on the 49ers. And that's kind of where what I want to get at with the 49er fans is how are we going to know how good this team is over the course of the regular season if these are, you know, if I'm not going to say they're going to win all the games like this, but how do you judge how good this team is, knowing that right now they're still not healthy, and the schedule's the schedule?
Steiny, it's week two. I don't care how good they are going to be. That's kind of the point. They just have to be better than their opponent every single Sunday. Like, have I learned how good the 49ers are going to be after 2 weeks? No, I haven't. Because they got six guys down after this week. They're playing with a backup quarterback. So how am I supposed to project how good they're going to be? Like, to me, what I don't want this season to become is us coming in every single Monday and saying, well, how far can they go? I think that's kind of the point of this year is we don't know. You guys said it at the, you know, the entire 2 hours at the Red and Gold Summit. Every single question it felt like was, oh, what's the Niners' win total? How good can they be? And the majority of answers were, well, it could be a 7-win team. They could be a 12-win team. Like, we don't know how good this team can be. I don't think they know how good they're going to be this year. But all they have to be is the better team every single Sunday for 17 weeks, and then we find out what happens after that.
888-957-9570 is the number. 49ers, they go to 2-0 with a 26-21 win over the New Orleans Saints. Mac Jones, 26 for 39, high 200s yards, three touchdowns, no picks. And I guess, you know, I'm thinking about this team and wondering, how you're not going to judge this team on, like, how... So we're not going to know how good this team is at any point this season.
Not until they play a big boy. And even then, it's like, okay, so in a few weeks, if they play the Rams and Brock Purdy isn't playing, how am I supposed to judge this team? Like, part of it is the amount of injuries that they've sustained. Like how good are they? I don't know, Steiny. How good were they yesterday? They were good enough to win. And to me, I'd rather spend time looking at the individuals that contributed to a victory than trying to forecast just how far the Niners can go. That, to me, is a conversation for way down the line. It's week two of the NFL, and the Niners are a team that is undefeated. I don't know about you, but if I looked at what they've already had to persevere, which is losing their quarterback, they're all pro tight end, multiple starters, and already with an offseason where they said goodbye to a bunch of big-money players, and they were 2-0 on the road, I'm not going to lie, I would be pretty shocked. Even with the Saints being one of those games, I would have told you that they would lose either to Seattle or New Orleans. Like, to me, they're being 2-0 at this point, it should not be a given. Do you think so?
No, not at all. But they are 2-0, and... you got to feel pretty good about it, especially because they've got a division win, and they got a division win on the road, and they're 2-0 on the road right now. So they're, to my way of thinking, ahead of the game. All right, Orlando and San Bruno's back. What's up, Orlando? How you doing, man?
Hey, sorry about that earlier. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to say a couple of things. I'll play devil's advocate. If I was a Saints fan, I would have been happy the way the game went and my team having the ball last and a chance to win the game. That being said, I'll piggyback. Kudos to the Niners defense for winning the game in that fashion like they did against the Seahawks. And I agree with you guys, Shanahan, and the whole coaching staff, and everybody that played yesterday. They deserve a real, real pat on the back because, yes, it's any given Sunday. They could have lost that game. And the last thing is, you're right, Stein, that touchdown right before halftime was big time, and that's when we saw Mac feeling comfortable. Quickly, the last thing is, hey, they're 2-0, and there's no excuses that they're 2-0. They deserve it. There's a lot of football left to play because look at it. The Saints scored more points than the Seahawks. If you're gonna, be all picky about it, but
I got you. Yeah, thanks, Orlando. Appreciate the call. We're fading out a little bit there, but their defense not quite as good as it was last week, but good enough. And again, Warner making big plays and Bosa making big plays, and the San Francisco 49ers are 2-0 right now, Evan.
Well, yeah, but the Saints also have different players than the Seahawks. You know, we talked about this last week, but one thing that I noticed about the Saints that is different than Seattle, they have a lot more speed. Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, Brandon Cooks. All these players are fast. Spencer Rattler is also more of a mobile quarterback than Sam Darnold. And we saw on occasions, especially I think it was their last scoring drive, a big fourth down where Rattler used his legs to extend that drive before the score. So, yeah, the Saints as a whole are not as good as the Seahawks, but offensively, they have a bit more maybe than Seattle does, specifically at the wide receiver position. You know, Seattle dominated Pittsburgh this weekend because they could run the ball and their defense frustrated the hell out of Aaron Rodgers. They also got like a special teams gimme touchdown, but you know, the Saints offered some different things. Was the defense 100%? Were they great? Not necessarily. But in money time, in the final 5 minutes of the game, they got a three and out, and they didn't let the Saints into the red zone when they needed to score. And that, to me, is the sign of a good team with playmakers. They made plays when they had to.
888-957-9570 is the number. Niners win yesterday. They're 2-0. What'd you think of Mac Jones? The backup quarterback who played for Brock Purdy, and then also Christian McCaffrey. That's 2 weeks in a row where he's looked pretty good. How do you feel about Christian McCaffrey? We were worried a couple weeks ago coming into this season. How does he look on your radar right now? 888-957-9570. That segment was sponsored by the California Office of Traffic Safety and Caltrans.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.